We haven't talked about this in several weeks, but I just want to make sure you know, if you're watching online, that we are still maintaining all the state regulations for houses of worship. So they require us to space our rows apart, space households apart. So even at the 9 o'clock or the 10:30, we're still maintaining a 6-foot radius around each household. And the doors are open. We sanitize every chair and doors and anything that has people, you know, in contact with it. After every service, we sanitize it. So we want to make sure, if you're thinking about coming back, it's a safe place. We'd love to have you. It's a great time to come back and worship in person with the family. And then you may have heard this at the conclusion of the service, but we always dismiss from the back to the front, and we give people space as they walk out the door so that there's no clumping or gathering or herding or anything like that. And man, we've been doing that for like 8 months now, and you guys are doing so good with it. Thank you for respecting those things and just allowing us to continue to worship in person. It's been a great, great, great thing. So, do y'all want to hear a joke, or would y'all rather not hear a joke? Because the 9 o'clock handled it well. I didn't think the 10:30 was ready, so I didn't tell them. Y'all want one? Y'all want it? Okay. So there was this man at the post office, and he was trying to get a letter sent out, and he couldn't write, and so he found someone at the post office that was there kind of at the table. And this man was doing his own mail, and he was getting it in the mail, and he was on a rush trying to get out to work. And he goes up to this man and says, "Hey, can you help me address this card? I can't write it, but could you write it for me?" And the guy's like, "Well, okay, yeah." So he takes the envelope, he gives him the address, and this man writes the address on the envelope for this guy. And thank you, you know. And he said, "Well, is there anything else I can do?" "Yeah, I actually need to write the card too. So, could you write this note on this card for me?" So he handed him the card, and he began to write. You know, as this man dictated the message, he wrote, you know, "Dear so and so," several lines all the way down. He signed it, and the guy's like ready to go to work. You know, he's ready to get out there. He's like, "Is there anything else that I can do for you?" And the guy says, "Yeah, just at the end, put P.S. Yes, just write, sorry for my bad handwriting." Wow, come on. Hey, you asked for it, so I gave you the joke. That sort of attitude of, you know, expectation, just like, no gratitude, no heart of thanksgiving, is what I want to talk to you about over the next few weeks, because this is my favorite time of the year. I love this. I love fall. I love this time leading into the holidays, and so November is just great. I mean, typically, there's great sports during this time of the year, and sports are kind of hanging in there right now. There's great weather. Those of us that live in Texas are thankful that it's not 100 degrees anymore. And yesterday, man, started warming up. And if you are like me, you're like, no, devil, not today. You know, it's going to stay at least in the 80s. And so cooler temperatures in the evenings and the mornings, it feels so good. And then, I don't know if you've noticed this yet, but we're actually getting leaves turning colors in Texas. And they're pretty. They're you know, a lot of times in Texas, they just turn brown and they're dead. And it's like, oh, fall, you know, dead leaves, yeah. And there's people that come here from New England. We have several families in our church from New Hampshire and Vermont and that area. And they're like, wow, this is nothing. But this year, there's actually some reds and some oranges and some yellows. Man, it's so pretty. So I love that. Of course, I love watching football. Deer season's here now, for those of you that like to hunt. Man, it's just love this time, and it's the anticipation of the holidays coming up. So Thanksgiving's just around the corner, and Christmas, and New Year's, and man, we're ready for a new year. So all of that is in our line of sight now, looking at the holidays coming up. And so Thanksgiving is the, you know, the gateway month to the month of holidays. Excited about that. Kids are excited about not having school as much. And so, yeah, I love this time of year. But I've been thinking through it, and if a Martian was to come here and evaluate Thanksgiving, you know, like if someone that had never been a part of Thanksgiving had came to the United States and was doing a report on what Thanksgiving was, and a Martian went to some of our homes across the area, across the country, and just evaluated what Thanksgiving was and did a report, they would probably say that Thanksgiving is about families coming together, traveling from out of town, coming into one house, having a lot of conversations, eating a ton of food. Food is a huge part of Thanksgiving, right? Come on, tell me your favorite Thanksgiving food out loud. Go ahead, say it. What is it? Corn, all right. Stuffing, anyone? Stuffing, I don't understand why we can't have that other times of the year, but it's Thanksgiving and Christmas, and I love that. How about turkey? Any turkey people? Ham people? Pie? Cranberry sauce? Come on. Somebody said tamales at the other service. If you're in San Marcos, you get your dozen tamales, and man, I love that. A lot of people believe in tithing tamales to the pastor, and so if that's just your tradition, come on, just share it. Just bless the... There's been a couple years I'm like, I cannot eat another. Just keep the blessing. But I always like to sample tamales. I love that. So good. So Thanksgiving's coming, and that's what they would say. You know, it's about family getting together. It's about eating food. It's about maybe going shopping on Black Friday or throughout the weekend, catching the deals. Some of y'all like to camp out at Best Buy with tents and try to get the deals. There's been people in our church that have done that. That's just crazy. But it can be a tradition. It can be fun, I'm sure, if that's what you like to do, get the deals, watch football. And so that's the holiday season. That's what they would say. And unfortunately, honestly, giving thanks is not a really big part of Thanksgiving. You know, I know there's probably some people that have a tradition of maybe before you eat, everybody's going to go around and say something they're thankful for. Or maybe you have a Thanksgiving tree up on the wall. Everybody writes something on a leaf and sticks it up on the tree. Or you write on a pumpkin. My mom had a pumpkin with a magic marker. We all wrote on the pumpkin a few weeks ago. And so there's a lot of Pinterest-y kind of ideas on how to be thankful. But honestly, those aren't the centerpiece of Thanksgiving. Those are kind of just a little ornament. Giving thanks is kind of just like a little side piece to this big thing we call Thanksgiving. So my point is, even when things are going well in a good year, we're really not good at giving thanks. And then when you come to a year like this, like 2020, and okay, it's time to give thanks. Everybody, let's get together. This time has come. We're going to give thanks. Many people would probably say, well, thanks for nothing. Thanks for nothing. And that phrase is just such an ugly phrase, isn't it? Thanks for nothing. Such an entitled attitude. Such a spoiled attitude. Thanks for nothing, you know? Like, thanks for nothing. And so it's unfortunately, though, what a lot of people are feeling, even though they may not articulate it in that way. It's like, what do I have? I have nothing to be thankful for. So we're going to talk about this for several weeks because the Bible is filled with ways to be thankful in nothing. So I want us to think about nothing, even if you're like examining the parts of your life and you know, what do we do with nothing? But I honestly want us to really look at our life and say, is there really nothing that you could be thankful for? I mean, even in a year like this, is there really nothing that you could be thankful for? And so in that moment, in that place of nothing, we have a choice. And we can either be entitled and discontented, unsettled, centered around ourselves, spoiled, which turns into bitterness and ugliness and, you know, being ungrateful. That's a choice. We can do that in our nothing, or in nothing, we can center ourselves around the truth that God has already been so good to us. Amen. He's been good to us. And I know that if you were to look at America right now, I'm sure you could give me a list of things that you would like to change about the nation that we live in. And some of you may have a long list, but I want you to stop and think for a second. You know, God has already blessed America so much. We live in the greatest country on the planet. We really do. And for those of us that have traveled to other countries, we've seen what it's like. You know, I've been to India and Africa, Nigeria, specifically in Africa, and Brazil, and many places in Central America, Cuba, places in the United States that are difficult, but other countries. And every time I get on the plane to come back here, it's just like, to come back home. Not just to come back to be home, but to be in America, because we are so, really, we're so spoiled here in America. It's really so awesome. And so I can't wait to get back and to eat again at my favorite places in America, right? I mean, you just can't get this kind of food in other places. So we have such an amazing country that we live in, and God has already done so much. So here's a phrase I want to give to you, and this is going to be something that comes up every week, and that's this. I actually want to thank God for nothing, because it's in my nothing that my eyes are turned back to God. There's nothing like nothing that will turn your eyes back to God. Because in our blessing, man, we're like fat and happy, right? We turn our eyes away from God. We turn our eyes back to ourselves, and we become inflated, prideful, and all that kind of stuff. But nothing is very sobering. And nothing takes us in our vision from ourselves and back to our Heavenly Father. And so thank you, God. I could actually say thank you, God, for nothing, because it's nothing that brought me back to you. Whatever it takes. So nothing is what it takes sometimes. I want to go to Scripture, and I want to show you in several places. We're going to start in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Some very interesting Scripture that talks to us about being thankful in nothing. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, always be joyful. Always be joyful. That's one verse right there. You could memorize that verse. Always be joyful. The next verse says, never stop praying. That's verse 17. So always be joyful is verse 16. Verse 17 is never stop praying. You may have heard it, pray without ceasing. That's kind of the old way of saying it. That's the King James Version, pray without ceasing. Keep praying, keep praying. That doesn't mean like pray every second of every day, but it means just keep on praying, okay? Keep on being in the mind of God, you know, throughout your day. Keep thinking about God throughout your day. Every day, think about God. Find ways to recenter yourself around God. So keep praying. Keep praying. Always be joyful. But look at this. Verse 18 says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Now, if you don't belong to Christ Jesus, you're going to have a really, really hard time, because you don't have the power of Christ in your life. But when you are in Christ, when you have the power of Jesus in your life, these other statements are possible: to be joyful always. Now, let's talk about that for a second, because tough times come. And for the last 2 months, we've been talking about how to be made whole. For those of you that have been here, we talked about how you can have trouble and wholeness at the same time, congruently. This scripture is saying, be joyful in tough times. Always be joyful. Now, does that mean that you're joyful in good times because great things are happening? Okay, sure, yeah. But what about when bad things happen? How can we be joyful when bad things are happening? And I just want you to know that Scripture says that it's possible. It's possible. And it may be that in a difficult time that God allows you to see some things that could create joy in that difficult situation. You know, maybe it's that silver lining around that difficult cloud that you're in. Or it could be that God has brought other things in your life to be joyful about in the midst of the struggle that you're in. So the main point that I want you to grab a hold of today is when you're in Christ Jesus, you can actually be joyful in the middle of this trouble. And it doesn't mean that you're ignoring it or that you're denying that it's there or you're just not thinking about it, like you just have mental power to not think about it. It's not that. It's that in the middle of it, God, because of Christ, can give you joy in the middle of a difficult situation. Never stop praying and then be thankful in every situation. So in nothing, in that state of nothingness, we're joyful. In nothing, in that state of nothing, we can be thankful. Why? Because we belong to God. We belong to Jesus. So that's a New Testament scripture that I would encourage you to take 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, 18, write it down, put it in your phone, memorize it, pray it. That's a great scripture just to pray throughout the day. And if you're not feeling it, if you're not experiencing it, just quote that scripture. Lord, I want this scripture to be in my heart and in my mind today. There's so many things in my life that I just am depressed about and struggling with, but I'm going to take 1 Thessalonians. I want your word to be in my heart. I'm going to be joyful today. Lord, God, show me places I can be joyful. Show me how I can be joyful today. Help me with this difficult. Okay, y'all get it? That's how you do that. All right, now let's go to the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, and we're going to go to Psalm 100. And many people associate the book of Psalms with David, King David, that he wrote the Psalms, and he did. He wrote the majority of them. But this particular group of Psalms, like Psalm 92 to Psalm 100 and something, many people believe that Moses wrote these Psalms. And so these predate David, go way, 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 thousands of years ago. And when we look at these powerful men and women of Scripture, man, they teach us something about being thankful. Because these people that we read about in Scripture, man, they 2020 was like their life. We have a bad year. We're like, oh my God, everything's terrible. This was their, Moses' life started, they say he started as a basket case, all right? He was in a basket as a baby. Come on, I'm throwing jokes out all day today. Come on. Thank you. That was a warning, babe. Slow down. Okay. So Moses had a difficult time. I mean, all the characters have, they go through these 2020 type experiences where it's very, very, very tough. And I'm thinking that 2020 is going to become like a noun now or an adjective describing difficult times from this point forward. But they had these very, very difficult times. And so I think it's beautiful to look at what Moses would have said in the middle of a difficulty. We're going to look at Psalm 103. And this is the foundation right here. In the middle of your nothing, in the middle of your difficult time, Psalm 103 is where we start, okay? Acknowledge that the Lord is God. Know that the Lord is God. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. That is Jehovah, the King, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We're going to acknowledge that. We're going to know that. We're going to center ourselves around the fact that the Lord is God. And what that means is that you're not God, I'm not God, your spouse is not God, your parents not God, your kids are not God, your job is not God, your money's not God. No, Jehovah the Lord is God. So everything else has got to get off the throne, and God gets on the throne. That's so important. He made us, so it's not like he's our God because he beat the last God. No. It's his world. He created us. He's the God. He created us, and we are his. So he has authority over us. But look at this last part. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. So this is a beautiful picture of our relationship with God. Sheep are very, very needy. And a shepherd is there to protect those sheep and to feed those sheep. Make sure they have fresh grass to eat. Make sure they have still water to drink. Make sure that if the coyote or the wolf or whatever comes at him, he's got a staff. He's going to hook them. He's going to stab them. He's going to run them off. He's going to protect sheep. That's who we are. We're the sheep. God is our shepherd. That's a beautiful picture. Look, I think we take it for granted that God is good. We could serve a God that was ugly, that was terrible, that was mean, but that's not what we have. We have a God that's actually a good God. That's wonderful. He actually likes you. He actually wants to be in your life. So that's incredible. He made us. We're his. We're his people. We're the sheep of his pasture. So in the middle of nothing, in the middle of trouble, this is where we start. Lord, you are God. I am yours. I am under your reign. I'm under your authority. You're going to protect me and provide for me. I'm going to start by being thankful for that. I'm going to start my Thanksgiving with that. There's so many things I want different in my life, but I'm going to start in nothing by thanking you for who you are in my life. Thank you, God, for loving me. Thank you for making me. Thank you for possessing me and that I'm yours. So that's big, acknowledging and knowing. Then once we have that in verse 3, so there's only five verses in Psalm 100, and this is the very middle verse, verse 3. But once you get verse 3, it's like the hub of all the other verses in the psalm. So now that we have that hub, we acknowledge that God is who he is and we are who we are in God. Let's go back to verse 1. And now we can understand how we can do verse 1. So verse 1 says, "Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth." Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Some of your Bible translations may say, "Lift a joyful noise unto the Lord." Lift a joyful noise, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. So this is an invitation for everybody. No matter what service you go to, no matter if you've ever been to Promised Land or not, no matter if you know God or not, everybody's welcome to join in on this, that God is King, he's our Lord, and now we're going to enter into a declaration, a shout, a joyful noise. So noise and shout definitely convey something important. It is vocal. It is from deep within. You can't just shout, yay. That's not shouting. Okay. Shouting comes down here at the diaphragm level. Yeah. Right? Woo. There's something about expressing a shout, un grito. Come on, somebody. Adios. I got Spanish flowing today in 12 o'clock service. We're going to shout before the Lord. We're going to praise God. We're going to express it. It's going to come flowing out of us. And I love it, that it says make a joyful noise to the Lord, because there's many of us that can't sing on key. We can't clap on beat. We're just deficient in those areas. But the Bible does not require that you sound good. It just wants a joyful noise to come out, or a shout to come out. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about the science of this, because I think it's really important. God creates music. That's something that God created. He created chords and tones and rhythm and sounds that actually have power, okay? And you may not ever realize this, but music is something that God created because it actually is a part of how humans relate to him. So when you come to a church service like this and we have music at the beginning of it, that is not just an accident. That is because God created music and the arts, really, all different kinds of art, to express, for humans to express their language of their heart to him. So music is a very, very easy way for us to do that. So we have a band, they play notes, we sing songs, we have the lyrics on the screen, so everybody can participate in that. And what happens when we start to feel the rhythm and feel the beat and begin to sing it and proclaim it out of our mouth, something happens physiologically where inhibitions start fading away, our pride starts getting out of the way, and our spirits can start connecting to the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. It's just a beautiful thing that happens. And we all have a gatekeeper in our brain, and there's a scientist named Broca that discovered this area of our brain. And so many people just call it the Broca area of the brain, which is a gatekeeper. And so whenever you're listening to something or hearing something that your brain thinks that you already know, that gatekeeper is going to shut and you're going to ignore it. And so if your wife is talking to you and you're not listening to her, that is Broca going, I don't need to hear this right now. Now, I'm not saying this is me. I'm just saying... But this happens when you hear that ad on the radio, you know, you tune it out. That tuning out thing is broken going, we don't need to hear that. We don't need to talk about that. We don't need to think about that. Well, that's what happens to us and our relationship with God is we tune out God. Our brain gets too smart or whatever. We think we got it all figured out. And so what worship does, what shouting to God and declaring our praise to God in a vocal, expression, in a physical expression, is that it takes away that gatekeeper to expose our heart to God. So that's why we get emotional when we worship God. That's why we start to feel something physically when we worship God, is because it's not just a mental thing. Bible scholars talk about mental ascent. When you ascend mentally, and you get it like on a logical reasoning level. So like I can understand who God is. I can understand the need for salvation. That's a logical thing that your brain is tracking with. Okay, I got it. Okay, I figured that out. That's one thing. But the heart is something else. So it's beyond just mentally figuring God out. There is a spirit inside of you that God has put inside of you that needs to connect to God's spirit. And so when we're in the middle of nothing, when we're in the middle of 2020 or something difficult, the best thing that we can do is begin to follow Psalm 100. Shout to God a joyful shout. Lift up a joyful noise to the Lord. That's the best thing we can do in 2020. That's the best thing we can do when we really can't logically think of something that we should be regurgitating as thankful about. We sing to the Lord, we shout to the Lord, all the earth, and something very, very powerful happens. And so I want to encourage you, if you're new to maybe church in general, or maybe new to a church like Promised Land that is very expressive, the reason we're expressive is not because we're trying to show off or do something to draw attention to ourselves. You may see people raising their hands, clapping their hands, singing out loud, praying out loud, whatever. I want to encourage you to step out of your comfort zone a little bit and begin to express yourself to God in this way, because I'm telling you, something powerful can happen in your spirit when that happens. You can be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. It's a beautiful thing. So there's something that's just very evident about music, about beat, about rhythm, that the devil actually stole from God and turned it. So there's secular music now that has no lyrics about God. It's nothing about God at all. And for thousands of years, cultures all over the world still use music and drum beats and different things like that to help people transcend the moment. So other religions, I mean, even Native Americans will use a drum beat. Other religions will use beats of drums and whatever. There's people in clubs dancing to rhythms and beats, and people on the dance floor dancing to the Cotton Eye Joe or whatever, because there's something about music and rhythm that just makes you feel lighter and better. And then you supplement that with a drink or two or a smoke or two or whatever, and all of a sudden you have transcended the moment and you feel better and you're happier and you're having fun and you're partying. Okay, I'm not here to talk to you bash partying or saying that you're going to hell if you party or anything like that. What I do want to tell you is that all of that is a substitute or a counterfeit to what God originally created. Amen. That God actually created music and song and dance and rhythm and shouting and partying so that we could connect with Him in a pure and undefiled way. And our spirit could worship Him and our body could worship Him. And it's just a beautiful thing. So what my pastor used to say all the time growing up is that when you become saved or when you become, you know, a follower of Jesus, you don't quit dancing, you just change partners, all right? You just start dancing with God and He begins to fill you with a peace and a provision. You know, when Jesus talked to a woman who was suffering and He says, I will give you a drink, and when I give you this drink, you'll never thirst again. How could He say that? Because he was going to fill her with the power of the Holy Spirit, which is what our bodies are craving and longing for. Okay, so, man, that all comes from Psalm 101. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. And then verse 2 says, worship the Lord with gladness. Some of your translations may say, serve the Lord with gladness. So the word worship means more than just the song we do before the sermon. Some people may say, well, that's worship, that's praise, that's worship. Yes, but worship is much more than just singing a song. Worship actually is expressed in serving God as well. So these people that are coming out on the stage right now, they're going to be playing music. We're going to get into song again. And I'm going to scoot over this way so they can get set up. They are worshiping God, not just because they're playing a song, but they're worshiping God because they're serving God. They got here at 7:30 in the morning or something like that, or 7 o'clock in the morning, and began practicing. That's serving. That's working. People that greeted you at the door, people teaching our kids in children's ministry, you know, all the different areas that we serve, that is actually worshiping God. So in your nothing, in your lack, I want to encourage you, yes, shout for joy, lift up a joyful noise, but let's worship the Lord with gladness. Let's serve the Lord with gladness. And then verse 2 goes on to say, come before Him singing with joy. And I want us to look at that first part that just says, come before Him. You know, this is important because it means that we actually make a move to God. Come before Him. This is a choice that we make in our nothing, in our 2020, in our difficult time. We can make a choice to go to God. Come before Me. Come before Me. That's what God is saying. And He's welcoming us to make a move on Him. Would you stand to your feet right now? And I want to invite those of you that are watching online right now, why don't you stand to your feet too? I know you're not in a building. I know you're not gathering with us in person. But I think it's important to like physically make a shift, physically stand up. Because it is that whole physiological thing of opening up God's moment for you right now. So we're gonna go into song, and we're gonna go back into talking about how He's the King of Kings and He's the Lord of Lords. We're gonna sing about that, and I want you to really step into that, come into His presence, maybe more than you ever have before, and just as Tim would say, taste and see. That when you come into the presence of the Lord, it's good. It's really good. But before that, let's pray right now. Would you bow your heads with me? And let's just pray a prayer of surrender right now. And everybody can pray this, no matter who you are. Why don't we just say, Lord, I surrender my life to You right now. I give You my heart. I give You my life. I give You my trouble. I give You my difficulty. I give You my mistakes. Please forgive me. I put my trust in You, Jesus. I believe in You. I need Your help, God. I put my trust in You, Jesus, that You're able and that You're good and that You love me. I come before you right now. I make a move to you right now that you would fill me with your presence. I make myself available to you. In the wonderful, mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Come on, somebody.